Support for Interlochen Public Radio is provided by you and by Comfort Keepers. For over 20 years, Comfort Keepers have been providing in-home care services and keeping seniors living independently in the comfort of their own home. Learn more at ComfortKeepers.com.
This is the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco, and these are the opening notes of Waloyo Yamani. The piece is set for performance tonight here at Interlochen Center for the Arts, but the way it is being performed is particularly interesting, and IPR's Austin Rollator is going to explain why. Coming up. First, though, we're going to court. The U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments yesterday on whether the future of the controversial Line 5 pipeline should be decided by state or federal court. This is a procedural question. It is hardly the stuff of a major courtroom drama, but there is a lot at stake here. Where the case is heard could determine the fate of the pipeline and the state attorney general's efforts over many years to have it shut down. IPR Climate Solutions reporter Vivian Law is with us to explain what went down at the nation's highest court. Hey, Vivian.
Hi, Ed.
Let's dive in a little here. This fight is about where this case will be heard. Give us some background.
Yeah, so this case is less about the pipeline itself and more procedural question. Back in 2019, Attorney General Dana Nessel sued the company Enbridge Energy, who owns the pipeline, in state court. 2 years later, the company tries to move that to federal court, which is long past the 30-day deadline they have to do so. It results in more lawsuits trying to answer the question of whether courts can excuse Enbridge from missing the deadline to move the case to federal court. A federal court judge ruled in favor of Enbridge, but then the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled for Michigan. So now the Supreme Court has to clarify.
Okay, so why does it matter so much where it's heard to either side, whether it's state or federal court?
Which court it ends up in could decide who wins. Enbridge prefers federal court because it argues that pipeline safety regulations are a federal rule, and also international agreements between U.S. and Canada are a federal issue. Meanwhile, Michigan is arguing under what's called the public trust doctrine, which is a state law that stipulates Michigan has the responsibility to protect natural resources for the good of Michiganders, and the good of the people would not be benefited by an oil spill in the Great Lakes, for example.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's always interesting when you listen to the Supreme Court to hear, you know, what questions the justices are asking, whether they're harder on one side or the other, and try to discern what they're thinking about the case. What did you hear when you were listening yesterday?
The questions were pretty tough for both sides. They asked things related to timing, why venue matters, and just general consequences of whether it's in state or federal court. And here's one question from Justice Brett Kavanaugh to the Enbridge lawyer.
Are you concerned that you would not get a fair shake in state court?
I'm not impugning.
And if so, what's the basis for that?
And then here's Justice Samuel Alito to the state's lawyer on the international consequences of putting Line 5 before a state court.
It could be a long time before the issue could be, this issue involving treaty rights, which is a federal question, could be reviewed here. So what would you, you don't really address that, so what would you say to that?
Just from a radio perspective, you can hear the echo in the room. It's like it gives you the impression of the giant, you know, Supreme Court courtroom that they're in. What did others think about this, the folks you talked to get reaction afterward?
I talked to Whitney Gravel, who's president of Bay Mills Indian Community in the Upper Peninsula, and she's also an attorney. She says the questioning was equally skeptical. Bay Mills has been advocating against Line 5 for years now, arguing that the pipeline violates tribal rights. Gravel worries that the case is being dragged out because of this procedural question, rather than focusing on the actual matter at substance here, which is the pipeline.
Line 5 continues to remain a clear and present danger to the Great Lakes and every tribal nation and every community that relies on them. And I am fearful every single day that Line 5 will rupture and that we will have to deal with the consequences.
So that's Whitney Gravel there. What did Enbridge say to you? Because I know they sent you a statement before the case was argued at the Supreme Court.
Yes, I got a statement from spokesperson Ryan Duffy at Enbridge. He says in a statement that it's been years of the attorney general trying to shut down the pipeline over, quote, perceived safety concerns. His statement points to the federal agency that oversees pipeline safety regulations and how Line 5 hasn't had any issues with that agency. And he also said there would be, quote, significant implications for energy security and foreign affairs if the attorney general continues to pursue the lawsuit now in state court.
And we know that the Supreme Court is expected to issue a decision before the end of its term sometime this summer.
Yes, that's right.
Vivian Law, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ed.
The music you're hearing is titled Waloyo Yamani. It's by composer Christopher Tin. Waloyo Yamani, in the Ugandan language of Lango, means we overcome this wind. Interlaken's choir and wind symphony will be performing the piece tonight at Corson Auditorium. But before the conductor cues up the orchestra, the audience will get to enjoy a play about Waloyo Yamani. There'll also be photos, video, other elements. All in all, 197 Interlaken students are coming together for this performance. And IPR's Austin Rolater gives us a preview.
So we're in this closet attached to a rehearsal room where a jazz ensemble is practicing. Among the drums and the gongs and pianos and all sorts of other musical detritus is a rain stick. Leslie Dunner is the conductor of the whole extravaganza. Right now, he's slowly turning the rain stick around in his hands. None of the sounds in the play will be electronic, he tells me. Instead, the students in the choir and the wind symphony, in addition to Waloyo Yamani and three other pieces, will also be doing the sound effects for the play.
It's a story about how people interact with nature in Uganda.
The play is called The Wind and the Rain. It was written by Interlaken guest faculty member Oren Safti and directed by Megan Rivkin. In the play, there's a psychologist with an ambitious goal: to coax the wind and the rain to have a better relationship together.
But when they have a good relationship because they're not storming and fighting with each other, it's bad for the people. Because when they get along, there's no wind, there's no rain, there are no crops, there's no water to drink.
I got a preview of the program, and I was surprised to see that there'll be an electric guitar playing in the wind symphony. There's also this page in the program titled Contributing Student Ecology Animation. 52 different animals and their student animators are listed there. There's elephants, blue jays, you know, panda bears. There's also some animals I've never heard of before, like what's a proboscis monkey? There's even something called a tanuki.
What's exciting is the fact that there are so many different departments that are working on this: interdisciplinary studies, creative writing, photography, visual arts. They're all part of the actual concert program. So it's sort of like a mini collage.
So what is this whole thing going to look like in the end?
It's going to be incredible. I know it's going to be incredible because I have 100% faith in everybody.
For Interlaken Public Radio, I'm Austin Rolater.
The concert is tonight at 7:30 in Corson Auditorium. It is a community connection concert, and it's free to IPR listeners. You can find out how to get free tickets on our website, interlakenpublicradio.org. Look under our Stuff to Do tab. That's the Up North Lowdown for Wednesday, February 25th.
Hey friends, Dan Wanchura here. Pints North Great Lakes Trivia continues. Season 4 features brand new questions about the land, water, and inhabitants of the Great Lakes, hosted by the Pints North podcast team. So whether you're a Great Lakes legend or more of just a here for the beer type of person, come hang out and win some really cool prizes. For the remaining Pints North Great Lakes trivia schedule, go to interlockinpublicradio.org/pintsnorth and bring all your friends.